We cannot let their voices stifle our cause. This political crisis puts our head in their jaws. History is upon us. We've seen this before. We can never allow freedom to exit our shore. Good afternoon and welcome to the Trump Chronicle. I'm your host, Ray Brookstein. Ladies and gentlemen, I have a burning question that seems never to get asked directly to the leadership of the American Muslim community. And that is, do they really want to assimilate into the American way of life? And would we really hear an honest answer? When we look at the Congresswomen, Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, and leaders like Louis Farrakhan, their words and actions seem to strike at the heart of the American way of life. We see criticism of the U.S., but never praise. We see anti-Semitic utterances, but never talk of religious tolerance. And then we see Islamist tension and violence all over the world where immigration from Muslim countries has been allowed to take hold. It appears that Sharia law is taking root all over the world, including elements of our own country, with the intention to replace existing laws in their country of residence. So, you know, I woke up today with a thought that whacked me in the side of the head. And that is, if they love their culture so much, and they love their Sharia law as their constitution, so to say, why don't they stay in their own countries? So to help us understand these important questions, I've invited two guests to help shed light on this issue. Kat the Hammer is a retired law enforcement officer after nearly 20 years. She's an activist and what I refer to as an influencer. She happens to have been a guest on the Trump Chronicle several times, and she's also been invited on other media. Bob Dunlap is a small business owner who resides in the Carolinas. He's quite well known for singing Christian songs, which express his love for Jesus. Very interestingly, he has studied the Quran, and as a patriot, he loves Donald Trump and says that he's willing to die for America and freedom. So welcome, Kat. Welcome, Bob.
Thank you, Ray.
Bob, I want to tee this up for you. Are we seeing any real concrete evidence that assimilation is in their grand plan here in the U.S. or any other country they emigrate to?
Well, they're not supposed to assimilate, according to the Quran. That they're told to, Islam is supposed to take over the world. So they're just doing exactly what the Quran states that they should be doing.
You know, I've read some of the things, almost like their 10 or 11 tenets of Sharia. And one of them is called taqiyya, that it's okay to lie to a non-Muslim. So will we ever hear the truth, Bob?
No, they're actually encouraged to lie. So to push forward their agenda of taking over the world and America. So don't ever believe them. They're lying and they're encouraged by Allah to lie.
My God. You know, Kat, there seems to be reluctance all over the place to even call out Islamist terrorism or even mention the word Muslim. It seems that we're stuck in political correctness of a very serious issue. Do you agree with that? Do you see this as like a taboo subject?
Absolutely. If you, well, take Twitter for a prime example. If you tweet the wrong words and they change every day, so we don't know what they are, but if you use the word Muslim, you are risking either a possible suspension, a 24-hour ban, a week ban. It happens all the time if you use it in just the wrong way, but we really don't know what that way is. So yes, this is all about political correctness. This is the left pushing an agenda of, we can't say anything. If you say anything about Muslims or Islam in general, you are Islamophobic, which is a conjured term as far as I'm concerned, just one of many. We're not allowed to call it what it is. I'm sorry, if somebody resides or it praises Allah and they consider themselves a Muslim and they commit a terrorist act That is radical Islamic terrorism. It is what it is, and we should be able to call it out, period.
You know, just to follow up that, I've been thinking about this, and I don't know if anybody ever asked Barack Obama this follow-up question, but what he said is that he wanted to fundamentally transform America. What do you think he was talking about, Kat? And then I'm going to throw the same question to Bob.
I'm not entirely sure. I think he was referring to Islam. I'm gonna go out on a limb and say that. I mean, let's get real. How many Somali refugees got sent to? It's Minnesota, I believe. Minnesota or Michigan. It's like originally it was 70,000. It's up 80,000+ now. Minnesota, my mistake, because the 5th congressional district, hello, elected Ilhan Omar. And yes, that is where the concentration of those refugees are at. That's kind of funny, huh? I don't know.
What do you think, Bob? What do you think Barack Obama meant when he said that he would fundamentally transform America? Well, you think he was talking in globalist terms or in the growth of Islam around the world? What do you think?
I think Barack Hussein Obama is a Muslim. He slipped up a few times in interviews saying that he was a Muslim, which I, as a Christian, I've never slipped that up before. So yeah, I agree. He was trying to transform America into a Sharia law and a Muslim country. They're all trying to do it. You know, we can quote Valerie Jarrett. She said in 1978, Muslims are going to take over America because of our Freedom of Religious Act. That's how they're planning on doing it.
That's very interesting that we've created a path through our own laws that allow for religious freedom. And they've been very effective at taking more of a legislative approach than more of a violent, I mean, we've seen elements of terrorism in the country, Santa Barbara, Orlando, but we've certainly seen international Nice and other places of extreme violence. But here it seems to be very stealth-like. But you're right, Kat, 70,000 people came from Somalia over the last 10 or 15 years. And when we consider open borders and illegal immigrants coming to vote, I mean, they are actually selecting areas where there's risk of Republican leadership, and they're inserting this same strategy all over the country. Bob, it's not going to take long, will it, if it continues like this?
It's 20 years tops, I'd have to say. But for me, it is a concern, definitely. But for me, it goes back to God is going to win. So at some point, there's a real correlation between liberalism and Islam. It's a slow creep, this liberalism and Islam. And they've gone too far, and it's going to blow up in their face sooner or later. I'd say probably the next 5 years, it's going to blow up in their face, liberalism and Islam.
I mean, we know that Christians have been under attack all over the world. Mm-hmm. Jews have been under attack since like the beginning of time. And we see fires now, a burning in Israel. How long will it be before we start to see fires burning in the United States? And it seems like it stinks from the top down. Look at these congresswomen. Has any of them ever stood up and praised America? I mean, it's insane. So, Bob, you know, you've done some study of the Quran. And what can you tell us? Let's call it the Cliff Notes version.
Well, they're doing exactly what the Quran says to do. They're supposed to take over the world. And for those people that won't murder non-believers, by the way, according to Allah, they're going to hell. So what some Muslims do and some Christians do is they'll pick and choose what they're going to believe in the Quran or the Bible. So they're doing exactly what they're supposed to do. The the violent Muslims, and really all the Muslims, as far as I'm concerned.
I mean, they talked about this as a religion of peace. Now, we had a discussion that you said that when you were reading the Quran about halfway through, and this is really all the words of Muhammad, correct?
Yeah, he's...
What happened? What flipped? When did this switch flip?
Well, in the first half of the Quran, he's all loving, and Islam is loving, and then I'd have to say, because I believe a demon got into him, because the second half of the Quran is about killing people. And because one person wrote this book, any rule in the end of the book supersedes the rule in the beginning of the book, unlike the Bible that was written by 45 people over 1,500 years. So the Quran, like I said, any at the end rule supersedes the beginning. So you're supposed to kill non-believers.
So we're all at risk.
If
I'm a non-Muslim, I'm a target.
You're a target. Absolutely. Yeah.
So, Kat, you know, you spent 20 years in law enforcement. And in your recollection of how you treated these sensitive issues, were you allowed to do any profiling?
That's a funny question to answer. My politically correct answer is no. It's frowned on. It's because, you know, this country as a whole has become too politically correct. Any kind of racial profiling, any kind of profiling technically is frowned on, right? Because it's become a big buzzword. It's a bad thing. Here's the deal, though. And at the end of the day, you have to use your senses to do that job. That means your sight, you know, your spidey sense. Everybody's got it. The little hairs on the back of your neck that stand up that are telling you that something's wrong probably means that something's wrong. So were we told to do that? No. But is it done? Absolutely. You cannot do your job.
You're allowed to use your own best judgment evaluating the situation as it was presented.
Yeah. And I'll tell you one more thing. Just will add one little thing to that about the profiling, because, you know, when they say that, they're always making reference to racial profiling. What do you think the Border Patrol utilizes? I mean, let's be real here. When they pull over vehicles for random inspections, this is real as I can be about it. A van with two Mexican males driving the van is going to get pulled over before Joe Schmo and, you know, his wife and kids. I mean, that's real talk. Is profiling like delegated by departments? Not so much. It's become politically incorrect. But in the real world, is it utilized? Absolutely.
Now, Bob, recently we've seen a lot of rhetoric from these congresswomen, and even Congress itself refused to call out the rhetoric on anti-Semitism. I mean, these are our elected representatives, and they could not even reprimand the behavior. What is going on with that? And is there any hope of somebody standing up in our Congress, for God's sake?
I don't think there is really any hope. It's creeping along, and it's going to keep creeping along. There was a law passed in 1952 that nobody from Islam could even come into the country. It just hasn't been enforced. Personally, I think we should bulldoze every mosque and throw out every Muslim in the country. That's my personal belief, because that it's going to come to that point. There's going to be another crusade. There's been seven of them. The first one was in 1095 AD, and there's going to be an eighth sooner or later. I'd say probably within 5 years, there'll be another crusade.
I don't know how we're going to stop this moving forward. I mean, we'll talk more about some possible solutions, but I mean, we know the Israelis don't see any solutions with their adversaries right now, and things are heating up. We see districts starting to take form. We saw AOC, you know, taking a district from Joe Crowley, who is slated to be the Speaker of the House. I mean, it's like from the top down, it stinks. And it seems like patriots have been reluctant to speak out nearly enough. I mean, what's it going to take, Kat, to stem this? Any ideas?
Yeah, until people are willing to get real and have a real dialogue, that means both sides of the aisle, the rhetoric needs to stop on both sides. Meaning, what I mean by that is the left needs to quit being so oversensitive and politically correct about every little word that comes out of a patriot's mouth and just stop and listen and start looking at the real facts of the matter. The religion of peace, stop it. Okay. Here's the deal. Until they start, whether they're participating in a violent act or not, when people are in these mosques and they know damn well that they're radicalizing in these mosques, not every one of them, I'm just saying in a general sense, and they don't report it, they're just as guilty of the act. They're not acting by omission. Until people in these mosques start turning in these hotbeds of terrorism and start saying, hey, Joe Schmo over here he's being radicalized by this Iman. Or this Iman is telling them they need to go out and kill 5 people on this day, whatever the act is. If they don't start turning in, nobody in America, to be honest with you, is going to buy this religion of peace. I certainly don't. And they are Bob's right. They're encouraged at every level to lie. They're encouraged in the mosques to not cooperate with law enforcement. It's a well-known fact. So do I know if there's a solution? No, I think he's right. I think there's going to be, whatever you want to call it, a crusade, a civil uprising. Something is going to come to a head. Maybe Ilhan or Rashida Tlaib are going to tweet something so outlandish that the left is forced to address it, because they certainly aren't right now. Let's say one more thing and I swear I will wrap this up. Rashida Tlaib, I get a comforting feeling when I think of the Holocaust and how the Palestinians helped the Jews. Stop it. That's absolutely inaccurate. She is not even quoting a history that exists. And in no world does that sentence, I get a comforting feeling when I think of the Holocaust, it doesn't work in any sense. So it certainly wasn't taken out of context like the left is saying. So yeah, we're in a stalemate.
We'll be back in a minute.
Let the silent voices be heard. It's the rallying call that started it all. AmericaOutloud.com. For a wide spectrum of programming from world and political news, societal and cultural stories, law enforcement, our military heroes, and much more. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Patriots. Through his widely acclaimed poetry books, The Trump Chronicle, Ray Ray has preserved for us these historic events that have surrounded the first 2 years of the Trump presidency. His fervent and patriotic poems capture in real time what could have easily been lost or forgotten. The Trump Chronicle is available on Amazon or through the America Out Loud bookstore. Pick up a few of these memorable books for your library. They are a must-have for our MAGA movement. Let's support this important patriotic poet and show host so we can continue to read history through poetry.
Kat, you recently sent me a video. It runs about a half an hour. And I was riveted and astonished about this woman who escaped from Iran and shares her story are all around the U.S. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us about it a little bit? What did you learn?
I learned a lot. She's first of all, she's amazing. And thank God for her grandmother. Her grandmother got her out. She was born into the Republic, you know what I'm trying to say, of Iran. 1979, when the Shah stepped down, the Ayatollah Khomeini hijacked the government of Iran. And they immediately went from these normal, average-looking people going to college and wearing regular Americanized clothes to complete full burqas, and the men were in robes. It was complete transformation to Islam. Her grandmother, she was sold off by her father, just like chattel, sold off at 14, married off to a man that beat her and raped her repeatedly, sometimes together, sometimes separately. Her grandmother wasn't having it and helped her escape to America. And now because she's here, she's using her knowledge of Sharia to educate people, and she goes all over the world. The thing that I didn't realize that is absolutely stunning to me, and I know Bob knows about this, I think it's called Requirement Day. I'm not sure if I'm quoting the correct term, but 9-year-old girls, all of them, are dressed in full white burqas and are taken to school, and they are declared full Muslim women, and they can be married off at 9 years old. And she said, if you think that's not happening in the United States of America, you would be wrong. So Sharia is here, and they can be married off at 9 years old. It's absolutely disgusting. And as a woman, it bothers me. And the things that are going on, what was it? The average 37 cases a year of honor killings, female genitalia mutilation. There's also forced marriage and there's a couple other things those are 37 a year reported cases in America. And she said, think of this. That's only what's reported. We don't know about the rest. There's much more going on. I did not know about that, the 9-year-old thing. I mean, I'd heard things off and on, and that's my bad for not following up and doing my due diligence. I am now, though. So it's an amazing video. Anybody, whatever side of the aisle they're from, they absolutely should watch it. It's an eye-opening experience. I was stunned.
And just for those that may want to look at that video or look it up, the woman's name was Inez Annie Cyrus. That's AYNAZ, and then Annie, ANNI, Cyrus. I would strongly recommend, it is not for the,
not for the faint of heart.
Not for the faint of heart. It was serious, and it was enlightening. And Bob, I want you to comment on a couple of things. I'm looking at a kind of like a list of the tenets of Sharia. Now, I don't know how many people actually, in America follow this to the law. I'm sure there are Americanized Muslims that are living normal lives. And, but I'm wondering about what's really going on underneath it all, especially if the first tenet is that they're encouraged to lie to non-Muslims. But there's some other things. Men are allowed to practice polygamy and be married to 4 wives at a time. Women can only be married to one.
Yep.
Kat, you mentioned female genitalia mutilation.
Yep.
I mean, this is barbaric. And what they do is they take the girl's private parts and cut them out so that they cannot enjoy sex.
Right.
Can you believe this? A man can beat his wife, Bob.
Yeah, but
how do you react to this?
But remember, they can beat his wife, but you're not supposed to beat him in the face.
Oh,
literally,
great.
I'm not kidding you. Don't beat her in the face and do not make her ugly.
And right.
He beats her in order to discipline her. All the things honor her. Going back to the girls, too, Muhammad married a 6-year-old, but he didn't sleep with her till she was 9.
Yep, exactly, till she was 9. That's right. I forgot about that. You're right.
Yeah, so if they follow the rules, we're all screwed, to make a long story short. So, I mean, we're heading that direction.
Yep. And remember women, if they're raped, remember they only count as half of a man.
Right.
They're only half of a man. So that means what do they need for rape? Isn't it 4 witnesses?
They need 4 male witnesses.
Correct.
To prove that there's a rape.
And with the women, they need at least 2 other women to make one man. It's absolutely ludicrous.
It's impossible to prove.
Exactly.
And if you can't prove it, they can put you to death.
That is a fact. because they can't prove rape, so now she's immediately guilty of adultery.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
There you disgusting. Go. I mean, it's. I mean, how many Americans are really thinking that this is an issue? Or we so blind as a country that we're just putting our head in the sand, like this is going to go away and it's no big deal? Who's pushing this narrative that nothing is wrong? It's like the same narrative that there's no problem at the border.
It's the mainstream media.
Media. Thank you, Bob. Exactly. Media.
My mother watches MSNBC and CNN, and she even thought children weren't separated at the border till Jeff Sessions made that rule up. And I'm like, what, Ma? And we looked it up on my phone, and the first three websites agreed with her. So it's just the people are getting propaganda.
That's right. Absolutely.
I remember a story of a British journalist. I forget the guy's name, but he criticized Muhammad or in a cartoon. I don't know if you guys remember that.
He's dead now, probably.
Yep.
This guy had to go into hiding completely because he was a target. So I worry about even myself being a target, or you, Bob, or you, Kat,
right,
with some of our comments on, you know, Twitter, or even on this radio show.
Right.
Thank goodness. I mean, I do this because we don't have censorship on America Out Loud. And that's to the credit of Malcolm and all of the people that come on to express. And it's really so important that we be a voice, because everybody is silent. It's taboo.
It's the Muslims behind it all. There's also no Second Amendment anymore on any of social media because of, well, Twitter's owned by 30% of a Saudi king. So the Muslims rule mainstream media behind the scenes. Remember, Judge Judy was sidelined for a week because her producer's a Muslim. And I'm telling you, it's money and the devil, actually. Personally, I think it's the best scam the devil's ever done. 1.8 billion Muslims in the world are praying to the devil six times a day. It's, you got to give the devil props.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So Christianity has been under attack.
Absolutely.
Judaism is under attack. The United States legal system is under attack. Our electoral college is under attack.
Yes, it is.
You know, I mean, this whole thing of the compact, you all know that there's another state that just agreed that they would give their state's electoral votes to whoever the candidate that wins the popular vote. Now, of course, the Democrats assume that they will win in 2020. So they're all figuring this out. I don't think it's going to happen, but, you know, nobody is talking about the possibility of Trump in a landslide. And all of these people that are going with this compact, it could actually end up being, he could win 50 states.
Right.
If it goes there. But they don't think clearly. So the Electoral College is under attack. I mean, every which way we look, I mean, it's not a pretty picture. And it seems to be getting worse.
All and about power.
I think Trump's going to win in a landslide. And I went to bed at 9 o'clock on 2016, knowing that he was going to win. I think it's going to be.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not.
Oh, my God. Such confidence. I was shocked. I mean, I was elated. I mean, it was the best night, I think, of my life, other than, you know, the birth of my children. It was just, I mean, I'm hoping it happens again. But you had the confidence, Bob. Why?
Because of the crowds, the rallies. He was doing five rallies a day in four different states. He was a beast. And at, what was he, 69 at the time?
Yes.
No one can keep up with him. Look at Hillary. She couldn't. She didn't even go to those states.
Exactly.
Is that,
and Biden's not going to be able to keep up either. If the Dems actually give Biden the nomination, even I don't care how much he's leading by, I still don't think they want him to be the nominee. I really don't. You know, he doesn't swing far enough left for them. And right. There is no way he can keep up with the pace that Trump will set. He may be 72 years old, but he is not your average 72-year-old man. That man has more energy than some 40-year-olds I know. It's amazing to me. And he's a force to be reckoned with. And I agree with you. I think he's going to landslide again in 2020. I absolutely believe that.
I think he looks better now, too, physically, than he did two years ago.
I do, too. I was just thinking that the other day. He's looking much better. But the Dems, you know, I mean, take a look at the big picture here. We've got the Dems that are saying there's no emergency on the border, blah, 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 open borders, let them all come in, peace, love, dope. And it's like people just don't want to, a lot of people don't want to see it. It's an absolute effort to control the electorate. They know at the end of the day, they cannot overturn the Electoral College. That is in the Constitution. Good luck with that. Because if these states try to pull that crap, the feds are going to step in and say, no, no, you can't do that. I believe that the federal government will get involved at that level and say that you cannot give the electoral votes to the popular vote winner if it wasn't Trump, is what I'm saying. Or in general, I just don't think they're going to be allowed to do that. It's in the Constitution. It's guaranteed. They'll never overturn it. But we also have to be diligent and pay attention to that message out there. People go, I say that, but I also say, people go, when I tweet about that, people comment to me and say, well, it's in the Constitution. I go, yes, it is. But you know what? If you stick your head in the sand about it, they're going to slide something by. And something's going to happen, and then you're going to be crying in your beer later why we lost an election, and we never are going, if they can mess with the Electoral College, we will never see a conservative in the Oval again. That's a fact. So people better be paying attention to this Electoral College situation. It is serious. But, you know, I don't think they're going to get their way, but we do need to be paying attention to it.
Well, there's definitely a population war going on as well.
Yes.
I mean, you know, you think about the left is, and also the attack on the family is extreme. That, yep. And then you have abortion, which, you know, we could talk hours on, but when you start combining it, the American population, call it Americans, which is everybody, are not having children. That, and on the flip side, Muslims are having a lot of children. In fact, you get the death penalty if you abort a child in Sharia. Think of that.
Mm-hmm.
They bear their children. I do give them a lot of credit for that, because I do believe in life from, you know, conception to natural death, that is a live, living human being.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody that could deny that is just ridiculous. Now, it's what you do with it, but to deny it, it's all about denial. You know, it's like that river in Egypt, denial.
Well, that's part of their plan, too, is to have 8 to 10 kids and take over just by population. That's what they're doing in Europe.
They're doing it in Europe. And like on the flip side, the Israelis, the Orthodox, who are very conservative, Trump supporters, Netanyahu supporters, they're having lots of children too, because they recognize they need numbers. I mean, I've interviewed a friend, you may have heard, Yankee Farber on my show, and he's got 4, and like people say to him, what's wrong with you? You know, but you talk to a millennial or even my own daughter, they don't want children, as if there's something wrong. And, you know, when you start combining these factors, It's like Rambo. It's like whoever is left standing wins.
Ray, I think we're in a civil war right now. And people just have their head in the sand. But I think we're in one right now.
Tell me more what you think about that, Bob.
Well, it's about everything that we're talking about now. There's so many things going on against us. The media is against us. Social media is against us. We're having an invasion in the South. Sharia law is coming. I can go on and on and on. And you just add up all the little dots, and all of a sudden you got, hey, we're in a civil war right now. And just no one's acknowledging it. How about education with the colleges?
Oh, my God.
Yep. I agree with you. Look at to take it a little further. Exactly. It's look at what's happening with these liberal college professors. It's literally becoming an indoctrination camp. Yep. I'd be pissed. Sorry. I'm going to say that word pissed off. I would be livid as a parent spending upwards of $60,000 for my child, grown adult basically, to go a year to go to college to get indoctrinated into some liberal speak BS. It's like, no. You know, kids go to school, they come home, mom, dad, you don't understand. I get that. That's a rite of passage. If you're not a liberal at 20, you have, what is it? You have no heart. If you're not a conservative by the time you turn 40, you have no brain. It's a rite of passage to be a little bit liberal when you're early in your 20s and you're protesting and you're getting involved. But, you know, at the end of the day, you shouldn't have instructors, professors that are sabotaging you, your academic career, because you maybe have some conservative outlooks. Look at what's happened to conservative college students. Absolutely ridiculous. Do your job. Teach those young adults, but you don't get to indoctrinate them. It's going on everywhere. It's a not good thing. You know, Trump did that, enacted that free speech on college campuses, and if they suppress free speech, they're going to lose funding over it. Thank goodness. It may help, but you know, it also has to be reported and acted on. So let's hopefully that helps a little bit. But yeah, it's cuckoo.
We're going to take a short break.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Bob, I want to continue on the discussion of education, because children are our future, correct? You believe that, Kat? You believe that?
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely. Children are our future. And when they go to school, if they're indoctrinated, what happens is when they get back from school and the parent says, well, Jane or Johnny, what did you learn today? Oh, we learned that President Trump is a crook.
Racist.
And they start to get indoctrinated. So the parent sends them to school. The kids come back home and start indoctrinating the parents. Now, go ahead, Bob.
It starts way before college, too. There's many examples of write an essay on someone you admire, and you can't do it on Donald Trump because he's racist. Oh, and by the way, America's racist, and we were started by racists. This starts in elementary school. It's not college.
Yep.
You know, I've had this thought that in every community in America, would they not go to their local school board and demand to see the textbooks that their children are being taught from? Is that possible? Is that like a realistic possibility that we could inspect as the taxpayers in a county you pay your school taxes to? Could we not inspect the books?
Yeah,
I'd like to see what they're teaching from.
We could do that, but it's not going to do anything.
Why not? Couldn't we do something? Demand that they extract it or change it, or it's just coming from the teacher's mouth and not even from the textbook?
No, it's in the textbooks as well, for sure. It starts with the liberals at the education department and the liberals in your county school district and the liberals that are it's liberals in the entire educational system is the cause of this.
You know, I don't think I've ever heard a Muslim leader condemn terrorism. Have you?
I have not. How about you, Kat?
No, the only person that comes to mind that's trying to do something through social media, I know you know who he is, Bob, the Imam. Yeah. He's great.
He is.
Who is that, Kat?
Fantastic. Oh, how do you say his name? His handle is at Imam of Peace. I mean, he's taken pictures of himself at memorials for Holocaust victims and had his arms wide open, and he's taken huge criticism for it, but he is trying to create a dialogue. He is trying to educate Muslims. I've seen several interviews that he's done. But he's one man, you know, but I follow him on Twitter. He's awesome. But other than that, no. I mean, look at what CARE did after San Bernardino. They didn't condemn it. They tried to call it workplace violence.
I mean, Ilhan Omar, you never see Tlaib,
no.
You never see Farrakhan condemning terrorist activity, whether it's in our country or around the world. They That's won't right. condemn themselves.
It's because they want it. They want more
they
of
want.
It.
They want the chaos, too.
We keep going around this in a circle, and my concern is that the average American, a patriotic American, either doesn't want to know or they just don't understand it. I mean, what kind of level of education do we have to get out there? What kind of voice do we have to get out there? I'm not saying we can, it doesn't look like we're going to win this battle, but we can certainly neutralize it. And I just don't know how to do it. But to speak out when we see it and not to have everything so taboo. I mean, this political correctness, just to circle back. I mean, as I said, it starts at the top. And look at Congress. They're a bunch of wusses.
Yeah.
Why couldn't we pass, Bob, a resolution condemning Ilhan Omar and what she said 2 months ago?
Because they don't condemn it. And let's just say you want to get involved and more educated. And you go on the internet and you start watching mainstream media TV. Then you're going to be like my mother and believe the left. So if you try to get educated, you better know where to go, because you're just going to be indoctrinated yourself.
Yep.
I mean, I think we're in serious trouble with this.
I'll tell you a website that people should check out. I know you've seen it, Bob, Religion of Peace website. Have you seen that? Oh, it's fantastic. Their motto is that website will stay up as long as CARE is in existence. And they give different everything that's reported. They'll give you from a 30-day count on all terrorist acts that have occurred. They'll have details on every single one. They'll also give you obviously it's the month of May. So from May 2018 to May 2019, they'll give you a total count, how many people were killed. There's tons of articles on there. The people that created it said this website will be up as long as CARE is in existence. And CARE is the Council on American Islamic Relations, which is an absolute joke in and of itself. They were created by the Muslim Brotherhood. They are not altruistic, and they are a joke. They are a terrorist organization, and until they're condemned, that's a problem right there. Until that organization is exposed for what they really are, and people actually start really believing it, that's a problem, because they're right here in America.
Can we stop calling it the religion of peace and just call it a cult that it is?
Exactly. Yes, exactly. I think you're right, Bob.
I agree. Yeah.
And you know what upsets me too? Is the women's movement, let's call it just the women's movement in this country, that want to protect women, protect women's rights, the healthcare issues, you know, Roe v. Wade, they're protecting women.
Right.
But look at what Sharia teaches.
You know,
female genitalia, getting married at age 9, getting beaten. Homosexuality is punishable by death. Where is the women's movement?
It's not a women's movement.
That's what it is. It's not.
Absolutely ludicrous.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Why are they silent when it comes to how Islam is treating women? Why are they silent?
Women empowerment. Women empowerment is being able to do the same job a man does, which I've done. So I'm an empowered woman. I consider myself a true feminist, meaning I'm not a feminazi with this BS that's going on now. The liberals have hijacked what I would say hijacked the feminist movement. It is no longer about woman empowerment. It's about, what do they use? What's their little disguise they use for abortion? Oh, that's right. Women's
reproductive health care, whatever.
It's not reproductive rights. It's infanticide. It's stop it. My best friend is a classic liberal. And when I explained to her the late term abortion, she is so triggered. She's like, I can't. She goes, I can't even talk about it. I go, well, you know what? Start speaking out about it. Start educating people, because this is all bad. So they've hijacked the Me Too, because Me Too at its inception is actually an okay thing. But again, the left hijacked it. And it's become something completely not what its original intention. It disgusts me as a female. I don't really go that route. I consider myself, I'm a patriot. I mean, I realize I'm a woman, but I don't do that route. I'm like, I'm a woman. Oh my God. I'm a patriot. I'm an American. And it disgusts me at every level what the left has done to what was once upon a time a good thing. I have every right that every man has in this country, and I've excelled in a job that's male dominated. Clearly, I worked at a department in the Midwest that I was the second female sergeant ever appointed. Mm-hmm. I was the second female CERT member. Cry me a river about how women don't have rights. We have every right available. If you choose not to take advantage of that and advance yourself, that's your bad.
Sorry. I mean, I would recommend that everybody watch that video.
Absolutely.
By Miss Cyrus.
Absolutely.
Really see what it's like to be a woman in Sharia law. And they should rejoice in what's available here in this country. But like what you were saying, Bob, this is really where our weakness is. We're so open and liberal that we're really creating our own, disaster.
Well, a good analogy would be a frog in water. You start boiling the water and the frog doesn't realize it until it's too late. And the movie The Blob. It just slowly, it's a slow creep. Liberalism.
That's a great analogy.
I mean, first it was abortion.
Yep.
Then gay marriage. I mean, where are we going to draw the line? I like sheep. I bet I can get that approved. It's not hurting you. I like it. I enjoy it. It's not hurting you. What's wrong with sheep? Where do we draw the moral line? That's the question.
They'll eventually tell us what we can eat.
Yep.
What jobs we can take.
Yep.
I mean, we're looking at a situation right now with President Trump. He's just gone through a 2-year investigation, right? And now they're calling a cover up of his opening up the documents. I mean, really what we're looking at, Bob, is we're probably looking at another 6 years, assuming he'll win the presidency, of no legislation, period. It's just going to be one long investigation. I figure out they're going to throw him out of office after he's completed his two terms. You know,
well,
but
they have to ruin him. They can't give him anything because he's really upset the apple cart. He's an outsider, and outsiders are not allowed in this beltway. So they can't give him anything, even if it's good for America. Nope, sorry. Trump can't get credit for it. And you know what? If nothing else gets passed over the next 6 years, that'd be great because he's already done. He's got us on track. So the government's hands being tied, I can make the argument that's a good thing. Because all they keep doing is adding more stupid laws. So he's reduced regulation. He's reduced taxes. Let's just ride it out for 6 years.
Bob, you sing Christian songs.
I do.
And that must be a real beautiful part of your life, isn't it? Tell us a little about that on a personal note.
Well, I met Jesus 5 years ago walking out of the theater after watching Heaven is for Real. And then about 4 years ago, I switched to just listening to Christian music, and I've really never looked back. It's very uplifting, and no matter how your day's going, you should be worshiping Jesus Christ, especially if you're in a valley, meaning something horrible went wrong in your life. That's the best time to praise him. It's very fulfilling, I have to say.
Have you made any records, tapes, videos?
Yeah, I made a couple of videos and sent them off to some people, and hopefully I might be able to perform on July 4th at the rally, maybe. If nothing else, I'd love to do the national anthem because I can crush that too.
Nice.
But that's about it.
But on that subject, what can Christians do and Jews do? Because I'm a big believer in that we came from a Judeo-Christian
Yes. Yep.
And we need to unite against a very lethal common enemy. What can we do? I mean, I'd like to talk in front of some churches and synagogues. Personally, it's one of my goals. You know, I write poetry books and I'm doing my chronicle of the Trump presidency. I mean, we're on a network that's committed to talking about the out loud truth, and Malcolm and the media player and the things that are going on, at least it's a voice. But what else can we do, Bob, to get Jews and Christians united against this common enemy we're talking about today? And it is an enemy, I'm sorry to say, but it's true.
Well, one of the main things you can do is pray for a worldwide revival. And I really see that coming here in the next, I don't know, year, that there's going to be another worldwide revival bigger than Fulton Street of 1857, because back then there was no social media or anything. So I think praying. It's a holy war going on that we can't see. It's a civil war going on that we can see. So I think that's the main thing to do, is pray and get on a radio show like you have. I'd love to start a podcast coming up about a month after July 4th. So, I mean, you just do what you can do in your little world.
And how about you, Kat? Any thoughts on possible solutions to this mess we're facing?
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of along the same lines that Bob is saying. Here's the deal. Christians can no longer afford to be silent. We can no longer afford to have any more political correctness in this. You better call it what it is and start speaking your truth. And because if we don't, we are going to lose this country. And that's a fact. I believe, I also, okay, what Bob said earlier too, it's like, I do have faith. I have faith in Americans, patriots, Christians, all under the same umbrella as far as I'm concerned. Like, I agree with you. We are at our core a Judeo-Christian society. We have got to speak up. Get rid of the political correctness. Quit being afraid to be called. You're going to get called a bigot, a racist, a whatever, a Nazi. I've been called some atrocious names more times than I care to remember. It doesn't even bother me anymore. It's like, whatever, because that's all you have. I'm going to bring you facts. I'm going to say I'm a proud American.
and I'm a Christian, and like it or lump it, people, we've got to speak out. We can no longer afford to be silent and sit there and hope it works out. Can't stick our head in the sand. Like he said, do what you can at your level. If you work 40 or 50 hours a week, then do something. Get involved at your community level. It all matters. Even if it's a small thing, it all matters. But some people just aren't willing to put the effort. So people need to wake up.
That was well said, Kat. Really was.
Thank you.
So I'd just like to wrap this up a little bit. And first of all, I want to thank Bob coming on. And I'd definitely like to have you on again. And even like to have you sing a song if I had more time. And maybe we could do that at some point. Kat, you're always a great voice, a great influencer, and I really appreciate it. Well, and let's face it, this is a delicate subject.
It is.
It's not easy to talk about because it's so taboo. But when something is eating at us like a cancer, you can't let it fester. Our government has to be held accountable for dealing with these people that refuse to stop the rhetoric, and they're destroying the fabric of our country. I encourage all of us to get out and vote, and get out and keep conservative people in Congress to fight this fight. And that's all we have, it seems, is a vote. So on that note, love Ray Ray and a poem.